Amen. Thank you, young people. That's a great song. I appreciate you willing to sing that this morning. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to hold off on 2 Corinthians this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Psalms 92, Psalms chapter 92. And of course, normally we'd be going, continue our series through 2 Corinthians, but this morning, with of course, we have Thanksgiving week coming up here, and I hope that you're able to get together with family or friends or this week and be able to celebrate Thanksgiving and just appreciate what the Lord has done in each of our lives. But in Psalms chapter 92, we're going to read this psalm this morning, and it's a very, very unique psalm, and I'll speak about that in just a moment. In Psalms chapter 92, it's just 15 verses here, Psalms chapter 92, and verses 1 through 15. We're going to read the whole psalm, and if you would, I'd like for you to read it along with me out loud. If you need a Bible, or if you need the words will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. If you have a Bible there, you follow along with me. But we're going to just read the whole chapter here, just 15 verses. It's not a long chapter, but I would like to encourage you to read along with me, if you would, as we read Psalms chapter 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, I pray that you would just work in our service now and through the preaching of your word. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, just draw us closer to you. And Lord, may we be tender to what you'd have for us this morning. And maybe we'd be yielded and obedient to what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Psalms 92 is just it's a short psalm. It's not the shortest psalm, but it is a shorter psalm. But the interesting thing about Psalm 92, it is the only psalm in all of the psalms, over 150 psalms, it's the only one that is specifically labeled a psalm for the Sabbath. If you notice kind of right underneath where it says maybe chapter 92 in your Bible, it might say a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Now, please understand, we understand that today, Sunday, is not the Sabbath day, right? The Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. Seventh day of the week. What is the seventh day of the week? So what is today? So today cannot be Saturday. So today cannot be the Sabbath day, all right? It's not the Sabbath day. But we understand that during the Sabbath, it was a time of rest. It was a time of reflection. It was a time of worship and just kind of renewing their focus on God. And so this psalm was written specifically for this period of time, the Sabbath day. And the psalm reminds us that the righteous life, one that is rooted in God, will thrive regardless of the circumstances, the seasons, or the surroundings that are in life. And so my question, and we're going to get into this in just a moment, my question to you, if you're here this morning and you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, my question is this morning, are you thriving as a Christian, or are you just surviving as a Christian? Are you thriving or surviving? Because I can tell you this morning, the Lord doesn't want you to just survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to grow. He wants you to flourish. I think so many times as Christians, many times we're just kind of surviving. You know, we're just kind of hanging on. We're kind of hoping that, man, Lord, would you just come back because I'm just, you know, I just don't know if I can go another day. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. Yeah, should we want the Lord to come back? Absolutely. No doubt about that. We should be looking for the coming of the Lord. But not because life is so hard and it's so miserable and nothing, you know. God wants us to thrive as Christians in this life that he's given us. And this morning, as we look at this passage, I hope that there'll be some things that we can learn to help us thrive as Christians. Because in a world where people are chasing success and recognition and security, in Psalms 92 here, we find that true success or true thriving comes only from walking with the Lord, our relationship with God. It's interesting, in California, I don't know if you've ever been out to California, they have the redwood trees, right? They have the redwood trees, and you go up into the mountains there, and they've got these gigantic trees. I mean, some towering over 300 feet. Some they've estimated to be 2,000 years of age, maybe even longer than that, right? And they're beautiful. They're just massive trees out there. But you know a shocking fact of these giant trees, these 300-foot tall trees, these trees that have been there for 1,000, hundreds of years, maybe 2,000 years? A shocking fact is that despite their size, their roots are not very deep. In fact, they say they're most of the redwood roots are only 6 to 12 feet deep. Can you imagine that? I mean, you have a 300-foot tree that's been around for 1,000 years and the root system only goes down about 6 to 12 feet. You say, how's that possible? Because it's not about how deep they go, it's how far out they go. What's very interesting about the redwoods is that they're not deep, but they are intertwined. They go out very far, and they're actually intertwined with the other redwoods. Their roots intertwine, and because they're being intertwined with the other ones, they have such a stability that even through storms and things like this that have taken place for hundreds and hundreds of years, yet they still stand tall 300 feet in height. Because their strength comes from being connected to one another. And likewise, I believe the believer thrives when they are not alone. Not alone, but rooted in God. We're rooted in his house and in his people. And when we have that connection and we have that connection with God and with his people, can I tell you something? There will be a thriving that takes place. We'll thrive. I want you to notice some things here that the psalmist says. And I hope if you're not doing these things, can I challenge you to do these things and see if maybe you don't start thriving instead of just surviving? Can I tell you, God doesn't want us just to survive. He doesn't want us just to get through it. No. Remember Jesus said he gives us his life and he wants it to be an abundant life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there aren't going to be problems. I'm not saying there aren't going to be storms and difficulties and things like that. No. But if we are rooted in God and if we are rooted in one another and we're connected spiritually, can I tell you there will be a thriving that takes place that even through the storms, there can still be thriving, not just surviving. Notice the first thing he says. Praise him. Praise him. Look what he says in verse number 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. So notice he says, it is a good thing to praise the Lord. And this morning, I really enjoyed the singing of the church and the choir and the teen choir. Just did a great job singing and praising the Lord. And again, if you think about this psalm was specifically meant, again, these are songs, obviously, in when they're translated into English from Hebrew, we don't really get the song aspect of it, but that's what a psalm was. It was a song that was meant to be sung. And this specific song, Psalms 92, was meant to be sung in the worship on the Sabbath day when they would when they were thinking about God. And so when we think about this, he says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name. The psalm begins not with a complaint, but with praise. Can I say this morning, praising God is always a good thing to do. Praising God is always a good thing to do. And can I say, it's not just to be done in church. It's not just to be done when we're together. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Notice, this is not just an optional thing. It's not just when we feel like it. It's not just when life is going well. Praise is good, he says. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Praise is always the right response because God is always worthy. He's always worthy of our praise. And may I say, praise also helps to reorient our hearts. Even as we're singing these songs and we're thinking that song we sang, only a holy God, as we're singing that song, we're thinking about the holiness of God and we're reflecting on who he is and what he has done for us. What are we doing? We're preparing our hearts for him. And so as we praise him, it helps to reorient our hearts. It takes our eyes off of ourselves and places it on him. Can I ask you a question? How often do you praise him? How often do you praise him? Is it just when we come to church that we praise him? Just when we gather together that we praise him? Can I tell you, notice he says, it's supposed to be a continual thing. Notice, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Notice he says morning and night, morning and night. It's not just supposed to be a specific time. All right, here's the specific time. We come to church, we sing, and that's all we do throughout the week. That's all the praise that he gets. No. He says this is continual. There ought to be a continual praising of God. Look, I know many times at work and things like that, you know, you have to deal with people and circumstances and things like this. We're like, well, I just can't praise God there. Maybe that's where you should praise God. Maybe that's the very place you ought to be praising him. Oh, it's easy to come to church and we can gather together and we can sing a song and we can lift up our voice. But wait a minute, what about when the circumstances aren't good? What about when you've got some situations at work? Or what about, you know, maybe something went wrong at work and maybe the boss had to chew you out, or maybe something happened. You're like, boy, today is not going to be a very good day. Maybe that's the time when you need to stop and say, Lord, that didn't go well, but I still want to praise you today. Because again, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to thrive or do we want to just survive? Can I tell you something? The choice is up to you. The choice is, it's your choice whether you thrive or whether you're just going to go through life surviving. Can I tell you this? If we'll praise him, it will help us to thrive. Because it's taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting it on Jesus Christ. Our day ought to begin and end with recognizing God's faithfulness. Every day we ought to thank God that we have another opportunity to serve him. You say, well, I didn't go to church on Monday, you know, and Tuesday normally. I know we did this past week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because of our missions conference, but we don't normally go to church on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Yet he still wants us to praise him. Every day we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Where? Wherever you're at. Whether you're at work or whether you're at home, whether you're at the grocery store, wherever you're at, we have an opportunity to serve the Lord, and we can praise him for his faithfulness and that opportunity to serve him in every season, at every moment. God deserves the praise of his people. Why? Do I have to list reasons why? I mean, really, do I have to list reasons why he deserves our praise? Because of his loving kindness? To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. I hope that you here this morning can say, God loves me. God's been so good to me. Hey, that doesn't mean everything's always gone right. That doesn't mean everything's gone perfect, but we can see that God loves us and God takes care of us. About his faithfulness, about the works that he does, his character, about his word, how about his grace? I mean, we can go on and on and on for the reasons that he deserves our praise. Our worship shouldn't just be empty emotion. It should be rooted in who God is and what God has done. We know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We should praise him. We should praise him for who he is. May I say, secondly, not only does he say we ought to praise him, but we ought to trust him. Look in verse number 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring is the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. God says we ought to trust him. Notice he says in verse number 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. The psalmist is bringing out the works of God in our lives. May I say that God's works are great even when we don't understand everything that God is doing. And let's face it, let's just be honest. None of us understand everything that God is doing in our lives. None of us do. We don't understand why certain things happen. We don't understand why circumstances come. We don't understand why a specific event necessarily takes place. We don't understand all of those things. But the question is, are we going to trust him even when we don't understand what's taking place? Because notice what he says, it's all about his work. It's not about my work. I hope you understand that as a Christian today, we're not here on this earth for our work. We're here for his work. How many times in these two verses did he talk about his work? And by the way, notice, I love this. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Can I tell you? You want to thrive? Be involved in God's work. That's what he just said. He just said, you want to be happy? You want to thrive as a Christian? Find a way to serve the Lord. Be involved in the work of God. Can I tell you why many Christians are just surviving? Because they're not involved in the work of God. They're not involved in doing anything for God. Look, God has something that he has for each one of us. But instead, so many times, we're just like, well, hey, that doesn't fit in with my plans. That doesn't fit in with what I want to do. That doesn't fit in with my life. Wait a minute. It's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about him. See, that's where we got to start with praising him, because it's about him. Then when we praise him, then I can say, all right, God, what do you have for me? What do you want for my life? What is it that you want me to do in your work? He says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Isn't that great? He says, I will be a success. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. Are we looking at success the way the world sees success? Are we looking at it the way God sees success? Because if you're looking at success the way the world sees it, can I tell you something? You're never going to be satisfied. It's never going to bring satisfaction. But the psalmist says, I will triumph in the work of thy hands. When I know what it is that God wants me to do, and I get involved and I start doing it, and I start just following God and saying, all right, Lord, I don't know where you're going to lead me. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm just going to jump in and I'm just going to follow you. You know what he says? You'll triumph in it. You'll be successful. Oh, that means I'm going to be rich? No, he didn't say that. Doesn't have to do with wealth. It has to do with being obedient to God. And here's why I believe many Christians are not thriving. They're just surviving because we don't want to obey God. We don't want to obey God. Let's face it. We have our plan. We've got what we want to do. And unless God says, fits all of that in there, we're like, sorry, God. No, thank you. Not going to do it. You know, we just had our missions conference and we're praying for missionaries to go. And maybe God was speaking to somebody's heart and you're like, hey, maybe I should surrender to be a missionary. But you know what? That doesn't fit into my plans. My career 5 years down the road, that really doesn't fit in there. And it doesn't fit here. And it doesn't fit with my family. And it doesn't fit with, nope, sorry, God, can't do it. Or, you know, maybe God's speaking to your heart about something else, specifically just saying, hey, I want you to serve me in this area. You're like, well, you know, that I'm not really sure about that, and I'm not sure how that's going to work, and so, nope, I'm out. But wait a minute, what does he say? He says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works. You know what's, I would say, probably one of the saddest things in a Christian's life? It's when we don't trust God. We don't trust God. God clearly tells us, hey, I've got a great work for you to do. I got a great work. That doesn't mean you're going to be a king like David. It might mean that you're just building a wall like Nehemiah. What? What's a wall? It's just a wall around the city. The enemies came, they said, hey, Nehemiah, come down from the wall. We want to have a meeting. And here's what Nehemiah said. I cannot leave this great work. Great work? It's a wall, dude. It's not the temple. It's nothing spectacular. You're building a wall. Yeah, but it was what God told him to do. It was the wall God told him to build. And that's why he says it's a great work. You say, well, God hasn't given me anything great to do. Let me ask you a question. Do you have children? If you have children, God's given you a great thing to do. God's giving you an opportunity to raise those children to love him, to follow him, to serve him. You've got a great work to do. Has God given you a job? If you have a job, you have a great work to do. So what is it? A great work? What are you talking about? There are people at that work that need to know about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about how he died on the cross to save them from their sins. They need to see what a real Christian looks like, because there's a lot of fake Christians out there. They need to see what a real Christian looks like so that when they have a problem or they have a difficulty or they're going through something at work, they can come to you and say, you know, I'm not a praying person, but I know you are. Could you just pray for me? You know, I don't go to church, but I think you go to church. I hear you talking about Jesus. I hear you talking about the Bible. I hear you talking about your church. Would you just pray for me, or could you give me some advice? You say, well, that's your job, Pastor. I don't work where you work. I don't work where you work, but you do. You see, you've got a great work that God has for you wherever you are. The question is, will you be happy in it? Will you thrive in it? Or are you just going to survive in it? He says, Lord, thou hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. God says he's got something special. He's got something special for you. And he says, I want you to enjoy it. Can I tell you something? I'm going to be very honest with you. Be very honest. And I think that even the missionaries that were here and anybody that, Pastor Joel and my dad, I think anybody would testify to this. Serving God is not hard. Serving God's not hard when we simply follow him. It becomes hard when we start questioning, when we start kicking back, and we start, no, I can't do this. We have this idea that somehow serving God means my life is going to be miserable. I'm just going to tell you from myself, I think I've had a pretty good life. I'm not planning on dying anytime soon, right? But I think I've had a pretty good life. I don't think that I could look back at my life and like, poor me. Boy, I just never had any fun. Poor me. I just missed out on everything. I've been all over the world as a missionary. got to see God do some amazing things through ministry, churches, radio stations. I got to pastor the greatest church in Ohio and in America. Amen, right? Yeah. Just trying to butter you up a little bit, right? I haven't missed out. Why do we think serving God, we're going to miss out? Why do we think somehow by following God and serving him, we're just going to be miserable? You know why? Because you're just surviving and you're not thriving. You're just surviving. You're just trying to hang on. And that's not what he wants. That's not what God wants for your life. And this is what the psalmist says. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. He says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Don't just settle for surviving. We ought to desire to thrive in what he wants because his works are deeper than what we can even imagine. He even talks about how we're not going to be able to look at every verse here this morning, but he even talks about why many misunderstand. That he talks about how the wicked and those that don't know God, they don't understand what God is trying to do. Why? Because God's work is so deep that the human eye can't understand everything that God is trying to do. And that's why God says we have to trust him. We have to trust him that he knows what is best for our life, that his way is better for us than our way. But can I tell you this? If we're not going to trust him, it's going to be very hard to thrive as a Christian. It's going to be hard to thrive. I want you to notice the third thing here. Not only does he say to praise him and to trust him, but notice, I love verse 10 and 11. We need to run to him. Run to him. Verse 10 and 11, he says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. You know what he said? Hey, there's going to be problems that come. There's going to be difficulties that come in life. And you know what? There's going to be times that you're tired. There's going to be times that you're tired and boy, it just seems like life may be a little bit overwhelming, right? But hey, if we will praise him and if we will trust him and if we will run to him, watch what he says he'll do. My horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. He says, God, when we run to God and man, when there are things that we don't understand, yes, we can go to God and we say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm still going to trust you. God, I don't understand why this is happening, but God, I'm going to trust you. And God, here's what I need your strength. This is what he promises. He says, we can run to him and he's going to give us that fresh oil, that anointing, that strength, that power, that help, that presence that we need in every aspect of our life, wherever we're at. God says he will give that to us. Again, when he talks about the horn being exalted, it talks about that horn is a symbol of strength and power. And our strength doesn't come from our ability. Our strength is not self-generated. It's not our strength. We talked about this 2 weeks ago in 2 Corinthians, where Paul says that when God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because it's his strength, not mine. It's his strength that is able to renew me, right? And so this is what he says. He says that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. God says, hey, I have exactly what you need for each day. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go to God for yesterday's supplies? God has a fresh supply every day. Every morning, the Bible says his mercies are new. Every morning, he has the grace that we need for today. We don't have to go back and try to, I hope he's got enough grace left over from yesterday. No. It's not left over. It's new. And he has enough grace and strength for us. He's got enough power for us that we can continue to go on and do exactly what he wants us to do, even during difficult times. Even when it doesn't seem like life is going the way we want it, we can still praise him and trust him and run to him. And he says, hey, I've got exactly what you need each day. Can I tell you? We can thrive. We can thrive when we run to him. Aren't you glad that I think the young people sang about it, or one of the songs that talked about how we have the privilege to call him our Father. Our Father. I don't know that any of my kids have ever woke up in the morning and be like, Oh, I just don't know if we're going to have clothes to wear today. So they didn't put them in the laundry to get washed. None of my kids have ever woke up, well, I just don't know if we're going to eat today. I don't know if we're going to have any food today. You know what's amazing? They've never woken up worrying about those things. Why? Because they know mom and dad are going to take care of them. You know, God says, hey, you don't have to wake up worrying and wondering, hey, you know what? He is our Father, and we can run to him, and we can go to him, and he says, hey, I've got you. I'll take care of you. I'll give you that fresh anointing that you need. I'll give you that strength and that peace. I'll give you that courage. I'll give you what you need each and every day. Why? So we can just survive? No. So that we can thrive. We can be the Christian that God wants us to be. We can have the joy that he wants us to have in our life. So many times we're just surviving. God says, that's not what I want. Notice the fourth thing we find here. Notice at the end of the passage here, he says in verse number 12, he says, the righteous shall, what's that next word? Flourish like a palm tree. He shall, what's that next word? Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know, he says, if you're saved, he says, I want you to flourish. He says, I want you to thrive. I want you to grow. This is what I want for you. This is God's desire for us. He says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice the thriving that we see here. There's a thriving, there's a flourishing here. See, you understand, he wants us to thrive, but we can only do that in him. We can only thrive when we're walking with him, when we're having that time that we need with him each and every day. A life that is rooted in God will thrive. Notice he says in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. He talks about flourishing and thriving. Think about a palm tree. They'll flourish like a palm tree. It stays green in desert climates. It bends during the storms, but yet it won't break. It produces fruit even in harsh environments. This is a believer planted in God. The cedar of Lebanon grows strong and has a long life, and it provides shelter and structure. It's deeply rooted. He's giving these examples, and he says, this is what he wants. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Here's the secret, though. If we truly want to thrive, we've got to be planted in God. The praise needs to be to him. The trust needs to be in him. The running needs to be to him. And then we can flourish, he says. We can thrive. By the way, look what he says in verse 14. Watch this. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Can I tell you something, friends, this morning? Doesn't matter how old you are, God still has something for you to do. God still has something for you to do. He says, they will still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I'm not going to go there. I'll let you interpret that. No, I'm just kidding. What's he talking about? They're thriving. There's a health that is there. He says, even in old age, there's a desire to serve God. Even in old age, there's fruit that's being born. It's not just to the young people. And I'm so thankful for the young people that we have and the teenagers and the young adults and the Center Point middle age group. But hey, he says, even the older folks, he says, there's a desire to continue serving God. Don't quit. Don't just be like, well, you know, I've been doing this for years and years. Now I'm going to let the next generation do it. No, you keep going. You keep bearing fruit. Don't ever decide to like check out like, well, I'm not doing it anymore. No, you keep going. Why? Because we want to thrive through our whole life, through the entire life, not just at the beginning or in the middle. No, as a Christian, we ought to thrive through the entire life that God has given to us. I'm thankful for men. You know him like Dr. Sisk. Dr. Sisk, obviously his health is not doing well, but man, He could have checked out and retired years ago. Do you know what? He said, I'm just going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep teaching. And he wasn't able to go out a lot like he was before. But even there in the assisted living area that he was at, you know what he did? He started a Bible study. He starts a Bible study in the assisted living area. You know what? He said, I'm still here. I'm still going to serve the Lord. You know what? He was thriving. He wasn't just hanging on. He wasn't just surviving till the end. No, he wanted to keep going, keep serving the Lord. Friend, can I tell you, serving the Lord, there is a joy in it. There's nothing greater than serving God. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sometimes we get this idea, serving God means I have to be a preacher. I have to be a missionary. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. Now, if God calls you to be a preacher, God calls you to be a missionary, praise the Lord for that. But you can serve God right where you are. Every day of your life, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your work, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever it's at, you take the opportunities that God has given you and you thrive and you let people around see there's something different about your life. Praise him. Let other people hear you praising him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, God says. Man, people ought to know that you're a Christian, not have to sit back and wonder like, No, praise him. Talk about him. Sing about him. Praise the Lord, not just here at church, but wherever you're at. I was talking to one of the guys who were talking about at their workplace, they're getting ready to start a Bible study in their workplace. Praise God. How about you? At your workplace, how about you praying, letting people see you pray? Well, I couldn't do that. I don't want people to know I pray. Why not? Why not let them see you pray? When you're on break and you're getting ready to have your meal, why don't you bow your head and pray and thank God for the food? What are you doing? You're praising him. Thanking God for the strength that you have to be able to work that day. Let other people see you praising him. Let them see that. Praise him. He says, trust him. Look, friend, I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this. You can trust him. You can trust him because his plan and his work is far greater than you could ever imagine. You can trust him with it. No matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what age, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager, young adult, middle-aged, older folks, you can trust him no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, whatever circumstance of life you're in. You can trust him. Why? Because it's his work. I love that. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works. You notice it's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. We can trust him in the work that he has for us. We can run to him. Maybe when we are discouraged, maybe when we are down, maybe when we are weak. Paul said, Lord, would you remove this thorn in the flesh? Three times he prayed for it. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove it, but I will give you the grace that you need. I'll give you my grace. And he says, my grace will be sufficient. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmity. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, we want God just to get rid of all of our problems. But yet so many times it's through those problems that we truly see God's power and work in our lives. But we have to trust him. We can run to him and we can thrive. We can thrive. Are you just surviving or are you thriving? Maybe the question ought to be, do you want to thrive? Do you actually want to thrive as a Christian? Or you just want to just kind of keep going through life, miserable, just surviving. Well, doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there, but you don't really enjoy life. And I tell you, friend, that's not the way God wants you to go through life. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to thrive. But he says you need to be planted in the house of the Lord. Just like those the redwood trees, their roots are intertwined. Man, get in the Word of God. Be in church, be with God's people. Get those roots intertwined together. Man, love the Lord, serve God together. and watch what God will do. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And why does he say all of this? Notice verse number 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Why does God want us to thrive? He wants us to thrive so that we can be a testimony about him. Because let me tell you this, let's just be honest. If you're a miserable Christian, you think anybody else is gonna wanna be a Christian? Come on, right? I mean, if you're a miserable Christian, well, I'm saved. Well, how is work? It's horrible. People that I work with, I just can't stand them. Well, that's great. I mean, honestly, if you're miserable and you hate life, how's that going to draw anybody to Jesus? How's it going to draw anybody to know him? He says the reason why God wants us to thrive as a Christian is to show the Lord, to show that God is good, to show that the Lord is upright, that what he does is right. He's always right. He's always good. And he says, in your life, as you will live a thriving life, praising him and trusting him and running to him and thriving, he said, that's going to show other people. And be like, you know what? There is something different about those people. I mean, yeah, they're going through life and it might be hard, but you know what? They're just still praising the Lord. They're just still talking about God. They're talking about all the things that happened at missions conference. They're talking about this. Man, they just had a miserable day. I mean, they just destroyed the boss's brand new truck. I hope that wasn't you. But you know what? The day could not have gotten any worse, but he still has a smile on his face. He's still talking about the Lord. He's still talking about church. He's still talking about the Bible. There's something kind of different about him or her. You see, it's not just about us. You see, we've got our life all wrapped up about us. But it's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about him. We think about Thanksgiving, right? What's Thanksgiving? Food, football. Wait a minute. Hold on. Where are we going? We're going back to us, aren't we? Wait, Thanksgiving is supposed to be about giving him thanks. Praising him for who he is and what he's done. Go back and study. The first Thanksgiving was not about just food. It was about praising God. And by the way, they did it for days. It wasn't just one day. They did it for days. Praising God. Thanking God for his goodness. You know, I just bet, and I'm not a betting person, right? But if you went to work this week and you just started being thankful at work, you know, man, I'm so thankful that I've got a job. And you tell people that. I'm thankful God gave me this job. Man, I'm thankful I get to work with you. You'll probably get some strange looks. Man, I'm just so thankful that, you know, that my car got me here this morning. It didn't break down, didn't have a flat tire. I'm just so thankful that God blessed me with a good vehicle. I'm so thankful that God, man, my wife made this lunch. I'm so thankful that God gave me a good wife. Or, man, my kids made me this little card. I'm so thankful that God gave me these kids. And, you know, if you just started being thankful, what do you think people at work might think about you? I don't know. Maybe they think you've gone a little loony, right? But when we start showing who God is, showing him, that's what God desires. And that's, friend, that's why God wants us to thrive, to show him. Look again at the last verse there. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. God says, I want you to thrive so that you can be a witness and a testimony to other people that God is good. If people to look at your life now and look at your testimony, would it be to say that God is good? Or would they say, man, that's the most miserable person I know. They're always complaining. They're always griping. They don't have anything good to say. What? They're a Christian? I didn't know Christians acted that way. Are we thriving? Or are we just surviving? Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in this. We know in your word, your desire is that we would to thrive. You want us to thrive as a Christian, Lord, so that you receive the glory, so that people can know who you are. Lord, help us not just to survive, but Lord, give us a desire to thrive as a Christian, to praise you, to trust you, to run to you, to thrive. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, I wonder, maybe there's someone here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure that I'm a Christian. You know, I'm honest. I'm not really sure where I'd go if I died. I would like to think that I would go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I don't know if I have a relationship with God. You say, Pastor, that's me. I don't even think I can thrive as a Christian because I'm not a Christian. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm saved. No one's looking about, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. But if you just be honest this morning, say, Pastor, that's me, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody else is looking about. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, if that's you this morning and you're uncertain whether you're saved or whether you're a Christian or not, we would love to take the word of God and show you what God says. How you can be a Christian, how you can be saved, how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not our way, not First Baptist Church way, but what God says in his word. Christian, can I ask you this morning, if you say this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved. And can I ask you, are you just surviving? Are you just surviving, trying to get through? Are you thriving? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm thriving. I just feel like I'm surviving. I just feel like I'm just struggling to get through. Maybe this morning, maybe you need to come as the piano begins to play in just a moment and say, Lord, would you help me to thrive? I want to thrive as a Christian. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. I want to praise you no matter what's going on in my life. I'm going to trust you no matter what the circumstances are. I'm going to let people know that you're my God. I'm going to run to you when maybe there are difficulties and trials and things that I don't understand. I want to thrive. I want to thrive as a Christian. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I feel like I'm struggling in some areas. And I want God to help me to thrive as a Christian. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, an opportunity for you to come and pray at the altar here or right there in your seats. But if God's spoken to your heart this morning about thriving, not just surviving, not just getting through, but thriving, maybe that's praising him at work, praising him and with your family, praising him when you're outside of church. Maybe it's trusting him and circumstances and things that you don't know what's going on, running to him instead of just running to everyone else. I want to thrive as a Christian so that God can be seen in my life so that he gets the glory. Let's all stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. If you raise your hand, God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Just come right now and pray at the altar. Say, Lord, would you help me to thrive as a Christian? I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. If you're not able to get out, you can pray right there in your seat. I want to thrive. God, I want you to be glorified in my life. To show that the Lord is upright. Show that God is good. Let the world see our God. Trust Him. Friend, can I tell you, it's your choice. God's not going to force you to thrive, but He wants you to. What will your decision be? Aren't you glad we can run to Him and He can give us that fresh oil, that grace, that strength, that peace that only He can give? He can give it every day. Every day. When our life is grounded in God, we're rooted in His presence, worshiping Him and praising continually, trusting even that unseen work, that's when we can thrive. Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, each one of us as Christians this morning, to truly have a desire to thrive in the life that You've given to us. Not for self, Lord, for You. As we praise You and trust You, even in situations that we don't understand, we can go to You for strength and comfort and courage. Lord, that others around us may see that our God is good. He's upright. He is our rock. Lord, help us in this. It's why You've left us here. Lord, not just to survive, but to truly thrive in the life that You have for us. Father, help us in these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.